The Siege of Vienna, 1683. The Siege of Vienna, July the 28th until August the 29th of 1683. After the 27th of July, the Turkish sappers kept creeping closer and closer. Assault after assault upon the outer fortifications gradually wrested important positions from the besieged. The Burg and the Lowell bastions, with the connecting curtain between them, and the Burg Ravelin were reduced to an almost shapeless ruin by the Turkish mines and artillery. Every device was tried to retard the attack. The arts and ingenuity of a great city were at the service of the besieged. They made their own powder, and when hand grenades began to fail, the invention of an officer supplied their place with grenades of earthenware. Nevertheless, on August the 7th, the Turks made a lodgment upon the counterscarp after 23 days of firing and terrible losses upon both sides. The Janissaries now stood upon the very threshold of the city. Hand-to-hand fighting was carried on in the ditches. The citizens, armed with sykes upon the end of poles, contended with advantage from above against the Turkish sabers. Boiling pitch and water stood readily available to overwhelm the assailants as they struggled up the shattered slope of the ramparts. Besiegers and besieged were continuously within pistol shot of each other, and showers of Turkish arrows descended on Vienna. As yet, no footing was obtained by the Turks within the body of the place, though the streets and houses stood readily barricaded against such an event. But the vizier commanded 200,000 men. Starhemberg, 20,000. Disease, toils, and losses of the defense told fearfully upon the latter. Starhemberg himself was disabled by dysentery early in the siege, and did all the man could do, carried in a chair from post to post amidst the hottest of the fire. On the other side, Kara Mustafa made his rounds in a litter rendered shot-proof by plates of iron. The chief engineer of the garrison, Rimpler, fell. Colonel Barner, commanding the artillery, and the Prince of Württemberg were disabled. 5,000 men, more than a third of the regular soldiers, had died. Food was scarce. Vermin were eagerly sought for food for the poor, and dysentery followed inevitably. Fever sprang from the confinement, filth, bad air, inseparable from their condition. 60 people a day were dying of dysentery alone towards the conclusion of the siege. The courage of long endurance, that rarest of all courage, was tried to the utmost. The Bishop of Neustadt, bravest of the brave defenders, labored unremittingly among the sick, nor cared less for the safety of the whole by undertaking the control of sanitary measures. The otherwise useless non-combatants were organized by him into bands of scavengers, hospital attendants, and carriers of the wounded. A dispatch from Starhemberg, dated August the 18th, came safely to the hands of the Duke of Lorraine. The commandant wrote boldly, perhaps with an eye to the probability of his intelligence reaching the Turkish and not the imperial general. Quote, I must in the first place tell your highness that we have, up to this moment, disputed the works with the enemy foot by foot, and they have not gained an inch of ground without paying for it dearly. Every time that sword in hand they have attempted a lodgment, they have been vigorously repulsed by our men, with such loss that they no longer dare to put their heads out of their holes. Nevertheless, in the document he says, I have caused a great work, well ditched, to be made in the middle of the Burg Ravelin. The Lowell and the Burg bastions are also defended by a second line, and I am now even beginning another work behind these same bastions. I write this that your highness may know that we are forgetting nothing, that we are wide awake and taking all imaginable precautions. As in the duty bound, I assure your highness that to show myself worthy of the confidence which your highness, and more especially his majesty, my master, repose in my small services, I shall never yield a place but with the last drop of my blood. The dispatch was safely carried to the Duke of Lorraine by Kolensky, a Pole. Many letters never made it, and few messengers actually penetrated outside the area to get away. The most skillful, however, was Kolchinsky, who relied upon his knowledge of the Turkish tongue and manners, and in Turkish dress, penetrated the besieging lines, much as a countryman of our own relied on similar knowledge in a scarcely less memorable siege. The name Kolchinsky of Vienna may be named side by side with Lucknow Cavanaugh, though the Pole not only passed out through the besiegers, but succeeded in returning again in like manner into Vienna with dispatches to sustain the courage of the defenders. From his stone chair high up on the fretted spire of St. Stephen's, the watchman saw the rockets which rose as signals from the Christian outposts north of the Danube. But from the southern bank, most of the march be made for the deliverance of the city, and it was possible that Lorraine or even Sobieski could carry a force across the river in the face of such an army. The garrison record, with painful exactness, the terrible annals of the siege, what raveling is deluged with the blood of assailants and of defenders, where the mines have blown the counterscarp into the ditch, or shattered the salient angle of the bastion. What new quarter of the city is devastated by cannonade? What much-prized life is taken? When the bread begins to fail? What false hopes of relief or exaggerated tidings of calamity circulate amongst the citizens? These details of overwhelming interest to every man at the moment, and printed indelibly on his mind, bring to the distant observer but one confused and appalling panorama of suffering and endurance, of courage and of despair. The growing anxiety of the city appears in a second dispatch of Starhemberg dated August the 27th. He still tells of attacks repulsed, of sorties boldly executed, and mines discovered and foiled. But he acknowledges the need for help. Quote, "We are losing men and many officers, more from dysentery than from enemy fire. The deaths from the disease alone are 60 a day. We have no more grenades, which were our best defense. Our guns are some of them destroyed by the enemy fire, some burst before firing 50 rounds from the bad material used by the foundry. And the enemy, seeing that they can hold their lodgments in the ditch with a few men, are massing great numbers on the counterscarp to have a large force ready there for some extraordinary effort. We await, therefore, your highness's arrival with extreme impatience. For my own part, not so much for a wish to be relieved as that I may have the honor of respectfully assuring your highness of my obedience, being as I am your highness's most humble and obedient servant, Starhemberg." The courtly bravado of the subscription is in strong contrast with the hurried postscript that followed. "My miners tell me they hear the enemy working beneath them under the Berg bastion. They must have run their gallery from the other side of the ditch. There is no time to be lost." When this dispatch was written, both sides believed that the supreme crisis was at hand. On August the 29th, it seemed that it would be the day of decision. On that anniversary, Stolweisenberg and Belgrade had fallen before the Ottomans, not Pest and Rhodes, which are sometimes added. Rhodes fell on Christmas Day. Above all, on that day, the strength of Hungary had been smitten, and her King Louis had died for the hosts of the great Suleiman on the disastrous fields of the Battle of Mohacs, the battle which first opened Hungary and Austria to the invader. But the 29th came and passed. With no general attack from the besiegers, a mine was sprung under the Berg Ravelin, nearly completely ruining the work, and 300 or 400 Turks attempted to establish themselves upon the remains, but were indeed driven back. Another mine was sprung by the Berg Bastion, but no assault followed. From St. Stephen's, considerable movement was noted amongst the Turkish detachments on the left bank of the Danube, occasioned by the march of the Duke of Lorraine's army. In the camp, murmurs and dissensions ran high. The Janissaries clamored at their lengthy detention in the trenches. They openly accused the incapacity or worse faults of the vizier. There seems little doubt that he had had it in his power to have overwhelmed the defenders by a general and prolonged assault towards the end of August. Ottoman leaders had known well how to avail themselves of the obedience and fatalist courage of their soldiers. Amurat IV, when he won back Baghdad from the Persians, Mehmet II, at the taking of Constantinople, had shown how cities could be won. Before the city of the Caliphs for 3 days, before the city of the Caesars from a May sunrise until well noon, had torrents after torrents of brave, devoted, undisciplined soldiers wearied the arms and exhausted the ammunition of the defenders, and then the Janissaries arose fresh and invincible for the decisive charge. Wave after wave of stormers, fed by inexhaustible multitudes, had rolled upon the besieged, and like broken waves had rolled back in ruin, until the last and greatest should burst in an overwhelming force upon the breaches. Such an assault would certainly have been successful against Vienna, but the vizier, in feigned security, pictured himself the advantages of a surrender. preserve the city as a trophy of his conquest, the seat, perchance, of his sovereignty. The riches which he dreamed it to contain, he hoped to receive as his own spoil, not to yield as the booty of the army after a storm. So while the decisive days passed and the signal for attack was delayed, except by small bodies upon single points, until the courage of his soldiers was dissipated and their confidence destroyed. On the contrary, the unexpected reprieve gave courage to the defenders. The Janissaries, on the other hand, impatiently invoked the appearance of the relieving army to end their sojourn in the trenches by the decisive event of a stricken field. Slowly, but at last, an army was approaching. So as we can see, right at the end, it's time for the cavalry to come over the hill or somewhere where Vienna is going to fall. But it's interesting to see how... Now, the sources for this, the Siege of Vienna, Bulwark of Christendom by Schimmel, the Great Sieges by Meligari, Enemy at the Gates by Wheatcraft, the Sword and Scimitar by Ibrahim, History of the Ottoman Empire by Howard. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.